Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
You're listening to Luke's English Podcast. For more information, visit teacherluke.co.uk.
Hello and welcome back to Luke's English Podcast. In this episode, I sat down with my friend Molly in order to have a cup of tea and a bit of a chat, just a bit of a chat, in order to find out some stuff about her. So I asked her questions about, you know, her background, what she's doing with her life, what she's going to do in the future, all that kind of thing. And you can listen and find out all about it in this episode. Molly is 24 years old. She studied journalism at university, and she's just spent some time living in France, just sort of like trying to work out what to do with herself. She's a very bright person, very intelligent. She's a very good writer. I expect nothing but the best from her in the future. So you're getting a kind of glimpse of Molly now. And who knows, one day she might become an amazing journalist or writer or comedian or something. That's what you can hear in this episode. After I interviewed Molly, she, as a journalist, decided that she wanted to interview me too. So you're getting kind of my interview with Molly first, and then after that she starts asking me questions. That's what you're going to get in this episode, okay? There is a part two to this, and in part two you'll hear me giving Molly a quiz about Britain, and Molly also gives me a quiz about the USA. So Britain and America quizzes will be in part two, but for now, in this part, you can just listen to my conversation with my friend Molly, and here it is now. So with me here in the apartment is my friend Molly. Hello Molly, how are you?
Hello Luke, I'm great.
Good. Are you enjoying the tea that I've provided for you?
Yes, it's very delicious and Japanese.
Yeah, we're drinking genmai cha, which is a form of Japanese green tea. Have you had genmai cha before?
I've heard Gangnam Style. Is that...
Gangnam Style.
Is that similar?
I don't think they've started doing tea.
Oh, okay.
They could do. Gangnam cha. Possibility. Gangnam Style is Korean, I believe. We all know Gangnam Style, don't we, ladies and gentlemen?
K-pop.
Oppa Gangnam Style. I don't know what...
It's like really embarrassing how much I love K-pop.
Really?
Yeah.
How much do you love K-pop?
Too much.
Well, like it's become a dangerous addiction?
Yeah, like I can't. I get itchy if I don't listen to it.
Really?
After a while, yeah.
When was the last time you listened to some K-pop?
I'm listening to it right now in my head.
Yeah. Okay, it's just the general sound inside your brain.
Yep. Just on loop.
Who is it? Which artists do you have playing in your head?
Oh, there are plenty. There's a boy band called Big Bang. They're great.
Okay. We're talking, ladies and gentlemen, about Korean pop music, which is now pretty famous thanks to... what's his name?
Psy.
Psy, who came up with that smash hit song, which is now very unfashionable to talk about.
It's very gauche.
No one's talking about Gangnam Style anymore.
But we are,
because this is Luke's English Podcast, and we laugh in the face of trendiness, because we're all about just taking a step back from events and waiting to see what happens and then commenting on them later. I didn't feel it was necessary to do a whole thing on everyone's talking about Gangnam Style, so I'm going to do it too. That's not how we operate at Luke's English Podcast. Instead, we just wait with patience.
We're to the other end of the bell curve.
Exactly. Once the interest has tapered off from a phenomenon, that's when we deal with it here on Luke's English Podcast. So we're talking about Korean pop, for example, Gangnam Style by Psy. And you're a big fan. You're genuinely a big fan of K-pop?
I do love K-pop.
Okay.
And I don't know if it's ironically or seriously, but it's a love.
I think if you listen to it regularly, that can't be ironic. Because you can't just be ironic on your own.
Well, I'd like to tell myself it's ironic because I can't be like, hey, friends, like trying to bump some K-pop. Like,
okay.
No, Molly wrote a funeral.
Well, you know, there must be some quality to the K-pop that you're listening to.
Oh, it's like very overproduced and poppy and really fun.
Lots of big electronic sounds.
Yeah. Lots of like Listerine colored hair.
Yeah.
It's good.
Listerine colored hair.
Yes.
That's kind of Listerine. What's Listerine? Just for the listeners. Sometimes I might do this, Molly. I might stop.
Our listenerines.
I didn't get that joke. Okay. That was a joke that Molly tried to make. It didn't work.
Listerine is a mouthwash.
Okay. And it's typically what color?
Green or blue or Easter colors.
Okay. Easter colors?
Yes.
Is that a genre of color?
Yeah.
Easter color?
Like pastel-y colors.
Okay. All right. Green or blue. So K-pop pop stars tend to have Listerine colored hair.
Yes.
Bright blue, bright green, yes, and stuff like that.
Pleasure to look at.
If you're in Korea, ladies and gentlemen, and you're listening to this, hello. Yeah?
Hello. I don't know how to say hello in Korean.
I don't know how to say hello in Korean either.
Damn it.
That's terrible. I'm really sorry to those of you who are listening in Korea.
I don't know how to say sorry in Korean either.
I don't know how to say sorry.
We gotta stop digging.
Yeah. Well, I like to do this on Luke's English Podcast. I dig myself into a hole and then dig myself out. And the result, hopefully, is engaging listening. Okay, so you're a fan of... all we know about you now, Molly, is that you're on the podcast. You've been drinking my Japanese Genmai Cha tea, and you are a fan of K-pop artists such as Psy and other people with Listerine-coloured hair.
That's pretty much it.
Okay.
That's what's going to be written on my tombstone.
Okay. That's
all.
Molly Martinez.
Here she lies.
Here lies Molly Martinez, K-pop fan.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, right, Genmai Cha, just to clear up that point.
Yes.
Is a type of Japanese green tea, which it has green tea in it, and also bits of roasted rice.
Huh.
Giving it a sort of rounded, roasted flavor.
I did taste a roasted rice taste.
Mm. Well, good. That's, yeah, that you should have. You should have tasted.
Write to them. Be like, you have a good product.
Yeah.
With a good description.
Okay. It does what it says on the tin.
Yes.
Okay.
Do you know Colt 45?
No. Oh, are they a band?
No, it's a malt liquor.
Okay.
It's like the malt liquor for homeless people. The tagline for Colt 45 is, Colt 45, it works every time. Like, that's so genius. Like, don't worry, guys. It's going to work how you think it's going to work.
It will get you drunk.
Yes, every time.
Yeah. I love every time.
Every time.
Yeah. Is there any alcohol that doesn't get you drunk sometimes?
A non-alcoholic beer?
Right.
My friends found a keg of non-alcoholic beer one time and drank the entire thing before they realized it was non-alcoholic.
Oh my God. Well, they got sort of six bottles in and they were like, this isn't doing anything to me.
I'm not any sluttier.
Okay. So, Molly, tell me, your name is Molly Martinez.
Yes.
Right now. Okay. The basics. Where are you from?
I'm from Washington, D.C.
Okay, which is in America.
It's the capital of America.
It is, isn't it?
Yes.
What's it like in Washington, D.C.?
Washington is sort of a weird dynamic for a city because its main export is power. So you have a lot of people that there's a big, it's very disparaging between the people on top and the people that are, you know, low-level grant writers. So you have a lot of intern culture and a lot of young people that are sort of just scraping by. And then you have like very, very wealthy people.
Okay. So the very, very wealthy people are the sort of civil servants or people who work for the government in some way. Capitol Hill, isn't it? That's the area where all the state representatives live and stuff.
Yes.
Have you been watching that TV show?
House of Cards. Every time I'm homesick, I just watch the opening credits, like the B-roll. I feel like I'm home.
So I don't know if my listeners are aware of this TV show. Some of you probably will be. It's a Netflix show starring Kevin Spacey. It's called House of Cards, and it's all about politics in Washington, D.C.
It was originally British, though, wasn't it?
The first series of that, or the first version of that, was a British show called House of Cards. It was on TV during the 90s. Brilliant show. Really, really good. And all about, you know, you get like a... you get an idea of what life is like in politics in Westminster, and it's, you know, lots of politicians stabbing each other in the back, you know, not literally, just sort of, you know, metaphorically, as it were. Same thing in House of Cards, the American version.
Yeah, it's Bo Wilmot's the writer, I think, or the adapter. Super well written.
Yeah, brilliant show. If you don't know this show, folks, have a look. Try and find it on the internet. House of Cards. That gives you an idea of what life is like in Washington, D.C.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
We're all gunning for the top.
But some people... Okay, so you're saying that some people in D.C. live very good lives. They've got expensive houses because they work in government and things like that. Mm-hmm. And then there's a lot of other people who are really just trying to get by, trying to make ends meet.
Yeah.
Okay, so a bit of a disparity between the two. Okay, so you're now here in Paris, but soon you're going to be moving back to the States, but not... Okay, it's complicated. First of all, tell me, what are you doing here in Paris? Why are you in my apartment?
I woke up here. I don't know. last night was weird. No, I'm kidding. I moved to Paris to become an English teacher.
Okay.
Which I worked in an elementary school, which was very adorable.
Really?
Yeah, the kids were super cute. They're really bad at English, which I'm now realizing is my fault. But... it's okay. They were really cute in French. And then, yeah, I studied abroad here 2 years ago and loved it and loved my life here and wanted to come back. And after I graduated college, I didn't really have a plan. Mm-hmm. So this seemed like a very good lateral step to take.
Okay. Yeah. Fine. So a lot of, I think my listeners now realize that a lot of my friends here in France are either stand-up comedians or English teachers or probably both. So
it's a pretty easy Venn diagram to fall in the middle of.
It is. I mean, you know, if you're living in a foreign country and you're a native English speaker, you're probably going to do some English teaching at some point. But not many people do the comedy thing. Right. So you decided to become an English teacher. You've been here how long?
This is my second year here.
Okay.
But non-consecutive.
Non-consecutive. So you came here for a year, you went back, and you came back again for another year.
Yes.
Okay. And how's life in France?
Oh, it's amazing.
Really?
Yeah. The culture in France is so much different than the States, because here we have the idea of like profit. Like
profit.
Profit, yeah.
What's
which
that?
It means like to take advantage of. But in English, it's literally to turn a profit. So like, what am I taking from you to gain for myself?
Mm-hmm.
So it's usually like a monetary thing, but...
Okay. So the English sort of version of that is to, yeah, to make profit in a business sense.
Yeah.
Like I'm going to sell you something for a little bit more than it's worth.
Yes.
And I'm going to get some money from it. So some of us, it's like a selfish entrepreneurial thing. But
it's a very avaricious term.
Okay. But in
France, it's just to enjoy. Just enjoy.
Yeah, because people say bien profiter.
Yeah, like the, oh, it's sunny. Go profit. Like, go enjoy it.
Profit from the sunshine, profit from something. So basically, it's what you're saying is that they use the expression as a way of talking about how you should just go and live the good life and enjoy whatever is going on at the time.
Yeah.
So you find that life in France is more pleasant than life in D.C.? Paris, really, not
Paris,
France.
Paris, yeah. The whole, I mean, it's lovely living here, being surrounded by people that, you know, in French the term is prends pas la tête.
What
which
does
is
that
like,
mean?
Don't worry about it. Like, don't. It's fine. It'll work out. Like, just don't stress about something right now, because it'll work out. And like in the States, I feel like we're so, I don't even know. We're just so concerned about right here, right now. What am I going to do? How am I going to be better? There's a competition. Like, I can't take off vacation because like then I'll, you know, people will judge me. And here it's just like, no, like, why would we go to work before noon? That is dumb. I want to sleep.
I get the feeling here, and it frustrates me, but for you, you're enjoying it.
Yeah.
For me, I get a bit frustrated with the sort of, the attitude of, well, I was talking to someone, a French friend, just at the weekend, you know, Urban?
Mm-hmm.
And he was telling me about, he was being very funny about it, but he was saying that the great thing about being French is that everyone does a bad job. And if everyone agrees that we all just sort of, you know, don't work too hard and don't try too hard, if we all agree, then that's great, isn't it? Because you know, because everyone does a bad job and they don't try very hard, that means I have no obligation to do a good job myself, so I can relax. So
it's amazing.
Everyone can relax. It's like this shared understanding. It's like, look, let's just not work too hard. Everything's fine. We'll just, you know, I personally get frustrated by that because I come from a situation in which I value sort of professionalism and working hard, and you know, I want to achieve things.
Yeah. But there's less incentive here to work hard. I mean, I know like food services, like in America, you tip and like your service is based off someone wanting a tip. But here that doesn't exist. So you can sit down and they'll forget about you for like 5 hours.
Yeah.
You're like, hello. They're like, yeah, whatever. Like we're profiting somewhere else.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you always get the feeling that sometimes you're going to be a victim of this attitude.
Yeah.
Like, you know, if you have to queue up for something, then, you know, no one cares. Like the standard.
I feel like a lot of your stress is queue related.
Yes,
I've remarked that about you. Like you wake up in a cold sweat in the middle of the night because like you had a dream you're at the end of the line and like somebody wasn't in line.
No, it's okay. I do have some queuing stress. Can I tell you a little story about what happened to me earlier on?
Yeah,
I was queuing up outside a place. I was queuing up inside the what do you call it? Alliance Française, okay, yes. Listeners, the Alliance Française is like an institution which provides English, it provides French lessons for people like me, okay? So, yes, I've taken the step, I've gone to Alliance Française and I'm booking myself in to a French course, not English, I can speak English already.
I'm going to ace this course.
Yeah, exactly.
Just wanted to feel good about myself.
Yeah. So I'm going for a French course and I'll tell you more about that later. But I was queuing up to basically pay for my course and there was a queue and most of the people in the queue were not French, but you could spot the French person in the queue a mile away and she was standing next to me.
They were standing a mile away.
Well, yeah. She almost literally was standing a mile away from the queue. I've talked about this before and I think everyone's picking up on the fact that it does cause me some stress, but I'm also trying to find the comedy in it too. But she was standing next to me and everyone else was standing in a line, you know, like a neat line. When you're in a queue, you automatically stand directly behind the person in front of you.
But this is queue etiquette.
Yeah, and you try and form a line and you fit in, and if there's a vacant space, you move into it and you try to follow the general line of the queue. This girl was, okay, it's hard to explain, but the queue was bending round.
It sounds like you're describing a car accident.
Well, it felt like a car accident to me. She was standing in front of the queue, but in front of me in the queue, but she wasn't facing the same way as everyone else. Instead, she was leaning on the wall, facing me. So she was facing about 170 degrees in the wrong direction.
Maybe she was just trying to holler.
You think? What do you mean?
Like, you know, like mademoiselle. Maybe she's trying to hit on you.
You think so? Maybe. But she was like that before I arrived.
Maybe she's waiting for you.
Maybe. But I was thinking, look, love. I appreciate. Shall I do it in a Cockney voice? Yeah. I appreciate. All right, darling. Now listen, right? This is what I should have said to her. Now listen, love, right? I appreciate the fact that you are breaking the rules of this queue, maybe because you would like to give me a bit of personal attention. I appreciate that. I do. But I'm getting married next year and I'm not looking for anything. You know what I mean? I'm not interested.
I'm not looking for a QT.
I came here. I didn't come here to pick up some French bird, right? I came down here to sign up for some French classes because I felt obliged to do it. Not because I'm particularly motivated by a love for the language of French. But anyway, I didn't say that. I should have done, maybe, just to see what would happen. She probably would have gone, and then that would have been the end of it. Anyway, we're not here to talk about my queuing.
These are Q-tips.
Q-tips, exactly. I could do a whole episode about queuing. This always happens in the podcast. I always get to a point where I'm like, oh,
the queue
shit,
hole.
No, I've got to stop talking about that because otherwise it'll dominate the entire episode. Right, so, now, Martinez, that's a Spanish name, isn't it?
That's a Mexican name.
Was that an Australian accent you popped out?
No, that was Texas.
Oh, was it? Okay.
Yeah. We don't take too kindly to your folk.
We don't take too kindly to strangers in these parts. So, are you Mexican?
I am Mexican.
Tell me more.
I'm Mexican on paper.
I see.
I'm a quarter Mexican. My dad, my grandfather is like totally Mexican, like sombrero sleeping under a cactus Mexican.
Uh-huh.
And then that trickled down, got the last name. It's what got me into college, if we're being totally honest.
Really? How?
It's much easier for, I mean, I also merited it. I wasn't a complete idiot, but
yeah, I'm sure you got good grades, but,
I didn't, but it helped. Yeah. It helped being Hispanic.
Right. What, equal opportunities, yes. Affirmative action?
Yes. It wasn't directly affirmative action, but it sort of hedges your bets.
Okay. What, for my listeners, what is affirmative action?
Affirmative action is a program started in the 70s, I believe, which made a certain quota for minorities to be accepted into schools and jobs and housing and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But affirmative action applies directly to schooling. And so if you had two equally qualified candidates, but one of them was a minority, they had a better opportunity of getting in just because trying to...
So they try and help minorities and other disadvantaged people to get the same level of education as everyone else.
Yes.
Okay. All right. So you sort of benefited from this program somewhat?
Yes, I carpet-bagged a little bit.
Carpet-bagged?
Ooh, this is a Reconstruction-era Civil War term. Carpet-bagged.
Right. This is an American bit of slang. Is it slang?
It's not slang because it's very ye olde English.
Okay.
Well, I guess from the Civil War. But
so it's not slang. It's a standard expression.
Yes, carpet bagging. It means when you take advantage of something that does not rightfully pertain to you.
Okay.
So it's used a lot in politics when, like, for example, Hillary Clinton ran for the senatorial spot in New York, mm-hmm. and she wasn't from New York, so that was carpet bagging because she wasn't really a part of that place and she wanted to represent them, but she wasn't really authentic enough.
Right.
Carpet bagging. Okay. And it comes from when looters... When Sherman burned down Georgia during the Civil War,
okay.
looters would come and like take all the nice stuff out of homes and just go elsewhere and sell them.
Looters,
yes.
Or in American English,
thieves.
Looters. Looters. I'd say looters. If I was a Cockney, I'd say looters. And in Washington D.C., go on.
Looters.
Oh, you do add the T.
Yeah.
Okay.
Looters. What did I say?
Yeah, looters. It's looters or looters? Which one is it?
Well, now I'm all self-conscious. I don't know.
It's difficult to identify what is natural language when you get self-conscious, isn't it? Because you can't tell. I think probably in America, sometimes you make the T a D sound.
Yeah.
And sometimes you don't.
Totally.
Totally. That sounded Californian there for a moment. All right. So... you carpet bagged your way into college. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
All right. Using your sort of Mexican, part Mexican ethnicity.
Yes. The easy on my, at the end of my name made it easy.
Okay. I see. All right. So tell me about sort of being a quarter Mexican. Do you speak Spanish?
Un poquito. Not as well as I should. Mm-hmm. My father speaks excellent Spanish and I lived in Mexico for a summer actually.
Really?
But, the second day I figured out my French teacher spoke French, so I'm sorry, my Spanish teacher spoke French, so we just spoke French the entire time.
Okay. Yeah, that doesn't help.
We were both kind of relieved, and at the end I'm like, well, I can't order from Taco Bell because I don't know, have enough Spanish for that, but that's okay.
Okay. All right.
Spoke some French.
I see. So how was it? Where did you live in Mexico?
Guadalajara.
Whereabouts is that?
It's in the central west of Mexico.
Central west of Mexico. Okay, fine. Good. Very good.
Yes.
Lovely. I was planning a holiday in Mexico, but I didn't go there in the end. I'd love to visit one day. I'm sure it's a fantastic place. I've met some very lovely people from Mexico. Very friendly. Do you have any, you have a good guacamole recipe?
I'm not sharing that.
Really? It's a secret.
It's very secret.
It's a family secret.
I made guacamole here one time for a party, and it was a French party, and they're like, oh, you made avocado puree. Like, no.
It's not avocado puree. It's a guacamole.
Anything that's like minorly viscous, they call it puree here.
Yes, I've noticed that.
They love that word.
Okay. They
applesauce. Apple puree.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Shampoo. Soap puree.
Yeah. I'm sure there are other types of puree that we could...
There's Purell for your hands.
Purell?
Okay. Hand sanitizer.
Okay. I didn't get that joke, and my listeners, I expect my listeners were like, huh, what? Don't worry, listeners, me too. It happens sometimes. I've written some notes down here. You mentioned before this interview began that you also know about beekeeping.
I do.
Okay, beekeeping. That's, you know what beekeeping is, don't you, folks? That's where you... You get some bees and you put them in a box.
And you keep them.
And you keep them so that they can't escape.
Yep, dress them up.
Dress
them up? It's sort of like misery The movie
Misery.
So I was such a fan of bees that I just like found some, kept them.
So you kept them prisoner in a box. That's not really the point of beekeeping, is it?
No.
I mean, you don't just like, these bees will never escape my cleverly designed box. That's not what beekeeping is. I think it's more
like bee managing.
Okay. Tell me about beekeeping and something like that.
So do you remember the DC sniper?
This was a guy who had a gun in DC and he hid on a rooftop or something and he shot people.
Yeah. It was like in a car and he had like a little like, anyways.
Just another American shooting, unfortunately.
Yeah, unfortunately. But this is back when they weren't as common as they are now. Mm-hmm. Anyways, so there was a sniper in DC and there were like shootings all over the place. So my parents decided to get out of town. So we went down to the North Carolina State Fair.
Okay.
And my mom started talking to the beekeeper and he like, I think he hit on her. And she was like, I'm going to be a beekeeper now. So my dad was like, great. So they bought a bunch of beekeeping stuff and started keeping bees. And then I got into it and so did my brothers. And now we're like a little bee family.
Okay. So, okay. When you approach, what do you call a bee house? What's it called?
Beehive.
Beehive. That's it. When you approach a beehive,
I'm like, I got this, guys. Don't worry.
Is that what you're saying to the bees? Do you have to speak to them? Look, guys, don't worry, all right? Your instinct is probably telling you to sting me, but I've got this.
Chill, I'm certified.
Yeah, I've got a license. I've got one of those mask things. I've got some smoke to chill you out a bit.
Yeah, that does. It chills them out.
Okay,
so. And it makes them really hungry, too.
You actually pump some smoke into mm-hmm, there.
You burn pine needles.
Pine needles, okay. I was wondering what kind of smoke it was. Mm-hmm. So bees sort of get high on pine needles,
yeah.
Do they?
Yep.
And it makes them all sleepy.
Yep.
And they're like, well, let's like totally not sting her. Normally they'd be like, there's a woman. Look, we might need to sting her. But with the smoke, they're like, hey, like let's just like not sting her at all.
She seems pretty chill.
Okay.
It's funny. With bees, though, this is a big misconception about honeybees that I'm about to school you on real quick.
Yeah.
Honeybees don't want to sting you. Yellow jackets, they can sting you all day.
Yellow jackets are otherwise known as wasps, I think, in England.
That's a racist term.
Wasp. Well, okay. In American context, wasp is what? White Anglo-Saxon Protestant. It's a certain type of person in America. They're known as wasps. But in England, wasps are those annoying little insects. They look like bees, but they ain't bees.
Yeah.
And they sting you, and they're just annoying. I've talked about bees and wasps. Wasps. Remember that, listeners? Wasps. Yeah, anyway. I've talked about bees and wasps before.
Anyways, wasps can sting you all day, but honeybees, if they sting you, they die. So it's right. Strictly like a protectional of the hive maneuver.
Okay. So they don't sting that much?
No. Well, I mean, they sting once and then they're dead, yeah. But it's kamikazes.
Right. Kamikaze bees.
Mm-hmm.
I see. So honey, you're extracting honey from the hives as well?
Yeah, we get like 60 pounds of honey a year and really? No one in my family eats honey.
Really?
Yeah.
What do you do with the honey?
Give it away.
Just give it away?
My parents now enter it in the state fair every year and they're like...
You don't sell it? You're not making money from honey?
No, this is an environmental thing that we're doing. We're not profiting.
That's very, very good of you. Because bees are very important for the environment, aren't they?
Yeah.
The ecosystem.
Albert Einstein said that the human race has 7 years to live once the honeybee population dies.
That's Albert Einstein.
He knew some stuff.
He did. He was mainly good at physics. I don't know if he was a specialist in bees. Do you think that he may have been wrong about some things? E equals MC squared. Okay, Einstein, fine. That is your specialist area. But don't start telling us about bees. No, I'm sure he was right. I'm just being facetious. I'm sure he was right. 7 years after the bees die,
yeah, because they pollinate everything. Think about it. All of our agriculture is facilitated by pollination.
Pollination. Yes. Pollination for the nation.
Yeah.
That could be a slogan that we could use to promote the survival of bees.
People had a field day when Obama got elected and they're like, it's an Obama nation.
Like, oh, dear.
Good one, bro.
Okay. All right. So beekeeping, you've got Mexican roots. You're living in France for a while as an English teacher. What are you doing with your life, Molly? Do you know?
Ooh, don't know.
Really? You're in your mid-20s, sort of early to mid-20s.
Yes.
And I remember when I was that age, I didn't know what I was doing. Is that the case?
That is absolutely the case.
And how does it feel?
You know, it feels good. Lateral steps are fun. I've
Lateral steps. Sorry, you're going to need to explain that one.
Lateral means sideways.
Uh-huh.
So I feel like since I graduated college, I haven't really been taking any forward steps for what I want to do. I've just sort of been sidetracked by fun things, living in France for a year, you know, and these are all good steps developmentally for me, I feel. But in the long run, I'm not going to be gainfully employed if I keep doing this.
You never know. All these lateral steps could be
built. Make a ladder.
Yeah, you could make, you could be a consultant in lateral steps. You know,
that a
could
life be good. Coach.
Yeah, a life coach, or you know, you could go into companies and just whatever the problem is, they're like, "Oh, Molly, you know, we're the company's experiencing financial difficulties," or "Molly, we can't hold on to our staff," or "Molly, you know, we need more R&D in the company," and you'll just come in and say, "Well, you know, I've assessed the company. What you need to do, more lateral steps." Okay. Okay, so lots of lateral steps. It can, you know, build your your skills. I mean, it's good to have a variety of, you know, experience.
Yeah, absolutely. And no experience is wasted if you learn something.
Yeah.
But I've been trying to be more mindful about using my 20s to sort of propel me later in life instead of just digging around and enjoying it as much as I can, which I am. And I'm doing that and I'm happy. But I got to move in a direction that's not sideways.
You got to sort of invest in the future when you're in your 20s.
Yeah.
In several ways. One way is you got to make sure you're having fun and happy times, carefree times.
Personal investment.
Yes. So that when you're later on, when you've got kids and, you know, proper job responsibilities, you don't look back at your younger days and think, why didn't I do more crazy stuff?
Mm-hmm.
So you got to be crazy and have fun. But also you got to do all the, you know, boring career and financial things to make sure that when you're older, you've got that infrastructure of money and career opportunities in place as well. It's going to be quite a difficult time in your 20s.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah,
you're bumming
awesome.
Me out.
Yeah, I don't mean to. I don't mean,
Welp, yep.
I don't mean to bring you down. It's awesome as well. It's brilliant. Yeah, we could now go through all of the different stages of life and talk about the good and bad things.
I just learned that the Japanese like cyclical calendar is 12 years.
Oh, yeah?
So right now I'm 24, and this is the year of the horse, so I was also born in the year of the horse. And they say that if, like, periods in your life last 12 years, so your childhood is 0 to 12, mm-hmm. your teenage years, and like really formative ones, are 12 to 24.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And now I guess my Japanese mother's like forced, like, "Hey, you should get married." I guess that's what this stage is.
Is that your Japanese mother? You don't have a Japanese mother.
I don't. But it's a podcast. They don't know.
Okay.
You could have a Japanese mother.
Mexican dad and Japanese mom. And your Mexican mother is now sort of telling you, "Hey, you should get married." That's the voice of your Mexican Japanese mother.
Hey, Molly. You need to get married.
I don't know what accent that is. Okay. All right.
You will go from señorita to señora. Muy rápido.
All right. So what's next then, Molly? What are you doing next?
I'm going back to the United States and I'm going to cry a lot. And no, I'm kidding. I'm going back and I'm going to figure it out. I'm going to use the tools that I got here. See if I can make something of that.
Okay. Which tools?
I date a lot of tools here, so.
Date a lot of tools, ladies and gentlemen, means that she has been on dates with lots of idiots. So it was a joke. You'll have to listen to it again to really extract the value of it. I said, she said, "I'm going to use the tools I've picked up to help me get a job in the US. And I said, "Oh, really? What tools?" And she said, "Well, I date a lot of tools here. Ha, ha, ha.
Ha.
By that, she means.
I think it's funnier when you explain it.
Yeah, well, a joke is never funnier when you explain it, unless somehow the explanation becomes a joke in itself. That's what I'm trying to do.
That's what we're all trying to do. Yeah.
Now,
I've got questions for you, Luke.
Yeah, go on.
So, I majored in journalism.
You majored in journalism,
so
yes.
I have some journalistic, hard-hitting questions for you.
Do that. Okay, go ahead.
We're going to do like a expose on Luke Thompson.
All right.
First and foremost.
I'm ready.
What's your middle name?
My middle name is Daniel.
And the lion.
No one has ever heard that before on the podcast, I think.
Yeah?
That may be new information.
Okay, I'm going to only ask questions.
Minds are being blown all over the world right now. Daniel. Luke Daniel Thompson? Really?
What? Him? Well, when you add the middle name, it just makes you seem like an assassin.
It does make you seem like an assassin.
Yeah.
Shall I call myself Luke Daniel Thompson
after
now
you kill someone? Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Okay, next question.
Yep.
What instrument did you play as a child?
What musical instrument? Yes. I learned to play the piano when I was a child. Started on the piano. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Are you still with it? Can you bang out some Heart and Soul?
I can still play a bit of Let It Be and Hey Jude and stuff like that. Okay. But that's the easy stuff. I'm not really a pianist anymore. I'm more of a drummer and guitarist.
Okay.
Drummer. Definitely. I think that's the thing. I used to play drums as well as a kid.
And were you in still a band? Do.
Yeah, loads of bands.
Yeah. What was the best name of one of your bands?
Oh, goodness. Well, I was in a band called Grandpa Knuckles.
That sounds like a subreddit.
It was a punk band, absolutely. And I was in another band called Skellington. That was my favorite one.
Okay.
Skellington is the sort of, you know, kids can't say words properly.
Mm-hmm.
And they could have mixed them up and make different words out of them. Skellington is the sort of word that a child would say if they were trying to say skeleton. Skellington. Yeah, I can't really explain it beyond that. It's just one of those crazy band names. Skellington. It was a great band.
Nice. Who was in it?
It was just all my mates. There was Jake Bullitt, who's now a...
Jake Bullitt.
It's not his real name, but he's now...
Jake Bullitt.
He's great. He's now a published...
Is it just Jake Bullittstein?
Just Jake...
Take that off for showbiz.
And just removed it. Often happens, doesn't it? No. It's just Jake. Just simply Jake Bullitt. He's now, you know, a bona fide recording artist.
Hey.
Yeah. Doing remixes and stuff.
So
like
you got
that.
Garfunkled?
No, because he was always the real driving force musically in the operation.
Okay.
I think he was the most legitimate musical member of the group and. He's now doing it, which is brilliant. There was Jake. Our lead singer was called Mouse.
I'm guessing not his birth certificate.
Not his birth certificate name. Why do you think everyone called him Mouse?
Is this like some weird like strip club story?
It's really simple.
He was mousy?
No, he just looked like a mouse. Just had a, you know, he just had a slight mousy kind of face. Okay. Lovely guy, but at that time looked a little bit like a mouse.
Was he okay with this nickname?
I guess so. He never expressed any dissatisfaction. And I was introduced to him as Mouse. I always knew him as Mouse. Everyone called him Mouse.
Okay.
I don't know if he minded.
What was your nickname?
Luke.
Skywalker.
Luke Skywalker. Luke Duke. Some people used to call me.
Yeah.
Luke Duke. Yeah. Never mind. Never had nicknames because Luke is just a nickname in itself. You know, you can't make it any shorter.
Yeah.
You can make it longer. Lukos, some I've been called before. Lukester. No.
Lukey.
Lukey. Lukey Luke.
Lukewarm.
No, I don't like that one. Lukewarm is an expression which means that if you have run a bath and you've forgotten about the bath for an hour, and you come back to it and you put your fingers in the water and it's not really satisfyingly warm. It's a sort of ambient, just above ambient room temperature warmth. That's lukewarm. Okay, and it's slightly negative. This tea's lukewarm. For example. Or also we say they gave him a lukewarm reception. If you get a lukewarm reception, it means that like a group of people...
They don't actually like you.
Don't really like you very much. Let's say you go up in front of an audience to give a presentation. Hello, I'm here to talk to you about Luke's English Podcast, which is an award-winning service for learners of English. And the audience are like, Oh God, they don't like it. How was the presentation, Luke? Oh, they gave me a bit of a lukewarm reception, to be honest. There you go.
Lukewarm.
So lukewarm. Don't like that one.
Okay.
Don't like lukewarm. Luke is fine. Just Luke, Lucky Luke, Luke, Luke Duke, Lukey Luke, Luke Skywalker, Luke, I'm your father.
Ukulele.
Yes. Exactly. That's the name I use when I play my ukulele. Yes. Okay.
Who was your favorite Beatle?
Who was or who is?
Who is?
Such a hard question. I'm going to go, just because I can't choose between John and Paul, I'm going to go for George.
That's the best one.
Because George Harrison has got the best sense of humor.
He's the best songwriter, too.
You reckon?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Like some of those, some of the later period Beatles tracks.
There was some, they like did an interview and like John and Paul looked at each other and they're like, when did George get better at songwriting than us?
Yeah.
But it happened.
Abbey Road, brilliant album, but it got, it would have been better with more of George's songs.
Yeah.
Because at that time he was writing such good stuff, but the Beatles just didn't really let him put it on. They didn't let it be. They didn't let it be better than it could have been. Mm-hmm. Next question.
If someone gave you an empty building in the middle of Paris,
right,
like a dead relative that you didn't even know you had bequeathed you an enormous space in Paris and you had unlimited renovation funds,
right,
what would you do with it?
Okay, how many floors? Let's say four or five floors?
Four
floors, okay. Oh, brilliant. It's just a brilliant opportunity. I would, downstairs at the bottom, I would convert that into a kind of cafe / comedy venue.
Okay.
All right. So it would be a place where you can go and drink some beers, or you can get like nice coffee, like proper coffee, not just lukewarm crap quality typical coffee, but you know, all the different varieties, all the artisanal coffees and all that stuff
from Ethiopia,
and all the different types of latte and, you know, mochaccino, frappa whatchamacallit, that sort of thing, and biscuits and cake and stuff and pizza, right? Okay, right. And then there would also be a space for doing stand-up comedy and for an area for doing little bits of live music performance. So it'd just be the coolest place to be, basically.
Like, man, I'm really fiending for some cake and pizza. Where can we go?
Yeah, I want to laugh, I want to eat coffee, and I want to eat pizza. And I want to get drunk if I feel like it. Where shall we go? Let's go to Luke's Cafe.
Okay.
So there's that. Then I would also have a recording studio full of musical instruments.
Okay.
Just a place, a brilliant studio where you can just go in and there's all the instruments there. Everything's that you just turn it on and boom, you can just start jamming and recording genius bits of musical
work. Have a player piano, so when you bring girls back, you're like, look.
Yeah, exactly. One of those fake pianos that plays itself.
The haunted pianos.
Yeah. I would also have a studio for recording the podcast, and it would be like a, you know, really nice radio studio, a bit like the BBC has, that kind of thing, with all the correct equipment. I'd also have, I mean, obviously a special private personal area for me and my girlfriend, you know.
Ooh.
Like a boudoir of love. You know, we'd have our apartment in there too.
Your love nest is separate from your apartment?
No, the love nest is within the apartment. Okay. Part of the building.
Okay.
And I'd also have a computer game arcade with all of the classic coin-operated computer game machines. And, you know, loads of different things. All right.
Next question.
Go on.
If you had to play an Olympic sport, you're not going to medal.
I'm not going to win a medal.
You haven't. This is like a week before the Olympics, and they're like, crap, we just lost Steve Bullitt or whatever, and now we need another person on our team. You're not going to medal, but what sport do you think you could have a fighting chance to like compete?
Which sport do I think that I could probably
you would do okay. All right. It wouldn't be that evident that you weren't an Olympic athlete.
All right. Okay. I'm not very good at any of those Olympic sports. Those are the ones that, you know, require real skill. I remember when I was a kid at school and they were like, okay, here are all the Olympic sports and you can do them all one by one over the course of this term. And I was like, okay, you know, doing them all. In each week you do a different one, javelin, discus, shot put.
It's like very Greco-Roman.
Yeah, running, jumping into sand pits, trying to jump over things, you know, the usual athletic stuff. And each week I was like, oh, okay, I was bad at that. You know, I can't do the javelin. Fine, never mind.
Killed a man.
Impaled a man on a spike. Sorry, I'll stop doing javelin. Next week, maybe I'll find my sport, my athletic sport. And I just went through all of the sports. And
until you found rhythmic gymnastics.
No, you're not even rhythmic gymnastics. I was just crap. I'm not going to mince my words, Molly. I was rubbish at all the athletic sports. What I did find, just by default, is that I would always do the long distance running. I think it's just because none of the other kids wanted to do it on sports day.
Mm-hmm.
So all the other kids were like a lot more proactive about, you know, choosing their sports early. And I would always be the one left to do the long distance running. And so I would do it and I'd just run around the track, you know, 3,000 meters. You run around the track like 12 times or something. And I'd just think about something else. I'd just be running around just thinking about something else.
The second I start running, I think about when I'm going to stop running.
Yeah, I tried not to do that.
Yeah.
Just tried to just, okay, just remove the mind, put it in another place.
When I first moved here, I stayed with a homestay, and our first dinner, they were like trying to get to know me and my schedule, and they're like, do you ever go running? I was like, yeah, if there's a bear behind me. They're like, are there many bears in Washington? I'm like, tons. There are a lot.
Okay. I would love to. I should ask you these questions too, Molly.
No. Like, do you want to do our quiz?
Yeah. We've got other stuff prepared, ladies and gentlemen.
We've quite a show.
We have a quiz lined up where we're going to quiz each other on. I'm going to quiz Molly on Britain. She's going to quiz me on the United States. Let's see how much we know. And we've also got some other stuff that we're going to play around with too. We'll come to that in a minute. So you finish with your questions for me.
Do you want to do like a one for one here? Back and forth, or do you want all of them at once? Rapid fire. Okay,
that's the end of part one of this episode. The conversation does continue in part two. That's the episode in which we quiz each other on our general knowledge of the UK and the USA. I asked Molly some questions about Britain and the UK, and Molly asked me questions about the USA in order to see how much we really knew about each other's countries. So you can listen to that in part two, which should be available very soon, if not now. Okay, but that's it for part one, and I'll speak to you again in part two very, very soon. But for now, goodbye.
Bye. Bye. Bye.
Thanks for listening to Luke's English podcast. For more information, visit teacherluke.co.uk.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
If you enjoyed this episode of Luke's English Podcast, consider signing up for Luke's English Podcast Premium. You'll get regular premium episodes with stories, vocabulary, grammar, and pronunciation teaching from me, and the usual moments of humour and fun. Plus, with your subscription, you will be directly supporting my work and making this whole podcast project possible. For more information about Luke's English Podcast Premium, go to teacherluke.co.uk/premium info.